Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, be multiplied to each of us today and forevermore. Amen. How does it feel to be in church an hour later than last Sunday? I was kind of wondering, you know, that if anybody would miss that daylight savings time had ended, but I guess we don't. Shows how anxious we are to gather on God's holy word. And that's what we pray for, is that God, through His Spirit, would open His word to each one of us, that we could be refreshed with that word, that we could be encouraged with that word, that we could continue walking as precious, redeemed children. I'd like to turn to the Epistle of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. I'll read it in its entirety. We know with Timothy that it's Paul who's writing to Timothy. Timothy, a childhood Christian. Timothy, who was raised in a Christian home by his mother and also his grandmother, Eunice. She was also a precious believer. And she spent much time with Timothy, teaching him God's word. And then Paul. Paul was, the Spirit of God put Paul in Timothy, that Paul spent much time with Timothy. He saw that in Timothy he had a very special gift. And he wanted to teach him more and more the precious word of God. We know with us also, it seems like God draws certain ones to us, you know, as pastor. And I know that within this precious congregation, that my desire is that it can be God's word that is spoken, not my word, but His word. And that it would be God's word indeed that would lead and guide each one of you. That you could recognize that it's the truth of God's word, and God's word that lifts up Jesus Christ unto us, that strengthens us, that we can continue on this pathway of the faith that leads us to eternal life in heaven. With this, that Paul is closing this letter to Timothy, and he's bringing a warning to Timothy. And indeed, you know, I guess myself, I guess I'm not young anymore as I sometimes thought I was. I'm, you know, only the Lord knows how much longer I have. How much longer I'm able to even come in the pulpit and bring forth His word as He reveals it. And with this, you know, even as Paul had such a love for Timothy, and he could see with Timothy that indeed that God had chosen him that he would be one that would continue the work that Paul had started, that he would be able to continue this bringing forth the precious saving gospel unto God's people and even unto others. So here in the third chapter, which I'll read beginning with the first verse, he encourages Timothy, and he speaks a little bit about what he might have to look forward to. And I guess each one of us too, that we have something to look forward to. We know that when we are in Christ Jesus, we have a glorious resurrection when we leave this world and we walk into the arms of Jesus. We know that eternally we have that awaiting us. But then also with this world that we're in, we know that this world is not our home, it's not our eternal resting place. It's a place that this flesh of ours, it loves this world. But what about our spirits? Where are we encouraged that we should continue walking and journeying to? And I think that Paul was thinking of these things even as he penned this letter to Timothy. So I'll read 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll read it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into whole houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all they will suffer godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. As Paul writes to Timothy and even to us today, he points out that what we can expect in the last times. And we're a whole lot closer to the last times than what Paul was as he wrote this letter. We mentioned in the adult class today that I mentioned that even in my lifetime, how dramatically things have changed. I remember when I was young, even in school, and this is public school in Worcester, every day we said the Lord's Prayer. Every day we had Bible reading. And we had a godly teacher. It wasn't a shame, and people didn't feel ashamed to stand and say that they're Christians. There were definite rights and wrongs. All people, whether they walked the Christian life or not, they knew that there were distinct things that were wrong, and there were very distinct things that were right. It wasn't a big debate on some that people can choose for themselves what's right and what's wrong. How dramatically things have changed today. Seems today that with society, it tells that every person can choose for themselves what is right and what is wrong. And if someone would point out in God's Word, the truth of God's Word, they are perceived to be the enemy. They are perceived to be the ones that should be fought against and put down. This is the day and age that we live in. How much we need one another. How much we need God's Word. How much we need to be encouraged by God's Word and encouraged by one another. Because even as it says here, that these last days, that they're perilous times. And what's it mean to be perilous times? Very, very dangerous. This is the day and time that we live in. Very dangerous times. And why is it so dangerous? Is it by what people would do to us? Is it, do we have to be so concerned about everything that's out there, with whether it be government or are these real strange movements that are out there? Oh, no question that indeed they cause a lot of peril, a lot of danger. But what's the most perilous thing that we have today? the most perilous things that we have today is that we could lose our own soul. That on that last day that we'd not hear that the words of Jesus say to us that, "Come, ye blessed, my Father, inherit the kingdom I prepared for you from the foundation of the world." But we'd be found amongst those that we would hear the words that, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I've never known you." We know that the enemy of the soul, the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom we may devour. We know the Word of God tells us that at the end times he'll be loosed for a season. Where do you think all this evil is coming from? Oh, we know that the heart of man is desperately wicked, and the Word even says that who can know it? But who brings to greater degree that wickedness? Who brings that wickedness, that evil, that it would be so acceptable? It's none other than Satan himself. Is that what's happening in the world today? Very likely could be. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour when Jesus is coming, but we know he's coming. We know he's coming because he said that he would be coming one last time. And he even speaks about how things would be like when he comes again. And even Paul here, he talks about what people will be like. Notice as we go in the second verse, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." What's it mean to be a lover of their own self? It means that they're the most important, that they can say, they can do whatever they want, because they have to be the outstanding one. They have to be the one that is far greater than anybody else. And there's a tendency to put other people down. That they love themselves. Who is it that we love? What did Jesus say is even the fulfillment of the commandments? Did he say to love your neighbor as yourself? But if we see here that in these last days that that men would be lovers of their own selves, their neighbors would be nothing, others would be nothing, that they would be everything. Very covetous. That people would want and desire very strongly things that other people have, and they wouldn't wish blessings upon others for their good fortunes. But how often people would look down and wish that something would happen, that they could lose what they have and the purse would gain it for themselves. Boasters. How much bragging is there today even about self, about achievements? That me, look what I've done. Everything about me. Very proud. God, the Word of God tells us that God hates a proud heart. But God loves the humble. And why is that? He loves the humble, because God can work within a humble and a broken spirit. God works within such a heart, and he can draw such a one onto themselves, that they can look onto the Lord Jesus Christ for everything, their hope of eternal life. They can take a look onto Jesus, that he is the one that gives us this precious gift, that he loves us so much that he suffered and died and shed his blood for us. And he walks with us every step of the way unto eternal life. The pride isn't in ourselves, but it's in Jesus Christ. It's in that he loves me so much, he loves you so much. Blasphemers. How people continually put down the work of the Lord and those who do the work of the Lord, those who would speak even of the Lord's way, those who speak against the Lord. We know even in swearing like that is using the Lord's name in vain without even any consideration. It's like common speech, blaspheming the living God continually. Disobedient to parents. Do we see that? Unthankful. Unholy. Is it interesting that we see in God's word, like it says, like that we should be thankful. First and foremost, we should be thankful to the living God, that indeed he is our Father and we are his children. So he watches over us, he cares for us. That how thankful we can be to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has loved us so much. He took our total sin debt upon himself and paid for it in full. And he offers fully and freely unto us even the forgiveness of our sins. He shed his blood for us. Can we be thankful for this? Can we be thankful even to one another when God works in the hearts of others that they care so much that they would even speak unto us and help us, direct us? Bring forth God's word unto us. That as God moves sometimes even to do things naturally and give things naturally, do we remember to thank people for what they do? So often it seems like in this day and age, you know, it's this flesh of ours, it's almost like it expects it. And that's what Paul says here, that they'll be unthankful in this day, unholy. The people today, they don't want to walk in God's way. How often they want to walk in their own way. They want to walk in the ways of the world, the way of the evil one. We see very specifically now that in my lifetime and in many of yours also, and it seems like especially so recently, this is without natural affection. We have laws even that protect and promote that a person, instead of having the affection man for a woman is woman for man as God has intended. Now we have promoted, even in our laws and like that, that even women with women and men with men, truth breakers, it doesn't mean anything for a person to say something and then totally go against what he said. Or else false accusers accuse others so wrongly. We hear it all the time. Incontinent. What that means is totally unrestrained. Fierce. We see today such fierceness in people. We see it and we hear about it all the time. I don't remember seeing things like that before. Despises of the hosts that are good. Have you noticed in this country of ours and even in the world that there's those that despise those people that are trying to do good? Have you noticed that? Traitors. Where they totally will turn against everything that they should be supporting. Heady. That means intoxicating. That they'll take and promote people to do totally the things the way that they're doing it. And it would convince them that that's the way that they should walk and that's the way that they should act. High-minded. Do people think very highly of themselves today? How about lovers of pleasures? Are there any people like that today? How about your own flesh? Do you find sometimes that that's what's in your own flesh? I know that I see it in mine. And I can testify even with the Apostle Paul as he writes it in me, that's in my flesh that dwells no good thing. That we take no confidence in this flesh of ours. And lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. It seems like this flesh, it wants to do the things that they're so pleasing to the flesh and totally disregards what God's word and what God's way is. It seems like this flesh wants to be in sync and obey the lust and the desires that are in this flesh, and it can come up with every reason what way it should, and totally disregard what is God's way. No longer a lover of God, but the lover of self, lover of flesh. That's the number one. We see this also, that there's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What's that talking about? What did Jesus instruct us to do? Didn't he say that go through the whole world, preach the gospel to all people? Didn't Jesus say that to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins, beginning in Jerusalem, in other words, beginning right at home? How is it today? We see today that there's so much, it says, a form of godliness. Or there's religion today. But we're not saved by religion. Religion doesn't save us. Religion is from man and the mind of man. And that's what Paul says, that there'll be a form. Things that appear to be a godly thing, but totally contrary to what the teachings of Jesus are. And he warns here, he makes this very statement here. He says, from such things turn away. When you see this form of godliness, and it denies the power thereof, when you see a form of godliness and it doesn't put forth even as the direction of Jesus, preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins, go forth, and it isn't something that says that to preach the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has loved them and come into the world, taken their sin upon himself and paid for it in full on the center cross of Calvary. When it's almost disregarded. And there's so many other things that fill that void. We see here that we're instructed to turn away from such things. He said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. That with this we see that we see cults, and we see the ways of people that they approach people trying to convince them with all kinds of things. Convince them with all kinds of things that it would be, you know, the desires of their flesh more than anything else that would cause them to follow after these things that they take and please the flesh, and these things that make it that with the ability of man and the ability of the flesh to be able to do everything in there and totally takes away from the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it creates almost a lust within a person that this is what they desire. And it can take and so deceive people. We know also it can be looked upon in a sexual type way, but there's a number of things here that it pertains to. With these ones also, and we see that even today, so often, this form of godliness, notice how the seventh verse describes that. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Studying everything that's out there. All the writings, everything that anybody has written about certain subjects and so on. This becomes their mainstay. And so that they're ever learning, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. It's Jesus Christ who works within the heart, that Jesus Christ becomes the whole reason for that hope that lies within us. It's not me, it's not what this mind would take and think about the wisdom of man, but it's Jesus Christ and what he had done and what he continues to do for us. He speaks about how at the time of Moses that there were these two men, Jannes and Jambres, that they revolted against Moses, they stood against Moses. So these ones he's talking about, like in his seventh verse, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's comparing these that's the same way the people that they resist the truth. What did Moses bring forth to the children of Israel? He brought forth the word of that God had given to him. What is it that those who are in Christ, what is it that we bring forth? Isn't it the word of God? Isn't it the truth of God's word totally? And not the wisdom of our own minds, not the wisdom of the flesh, not the wisdom of the world. And then he said that these that would totally bring forth the things of the flesh, the things of the mind, he said that they're men of corrupt minds. They're reprobates concerning the faith. What's a reprobate? One that totally, totally goes against the truth of living faith. Living faith is totally disregarded. That's what a reprobate is, a reprobate of faith. He says, but they shall proceed no further. God won't allow it. Remember, greater is he that's in you than he that he's in the world. In Christ Jesus, we can overcome all things. We have Jesus Christ, who will never leave us, never forsake us. He's given us even this precious living word that's a living word. He's given us the Spirit of God that opens and reveals that word to us. It works in our hearts through that word. It says, for their folly, this that those that are so caught up in the knowledge of man and in themselves, it'll be accepted by all men. Jesus said that the time that we're headed into, he says that iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He talks about deception. He says that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. But he said that for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. For you and I, the days will be shortened when Jesus will come again. But then he says these encouraging words to Timothy, and even to us today. We have, Paul says to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. You have known what my teachings are. You have heard the teachings that have come right from the Word of God. I haven't taken and changed course on it. But it's been the truth of God's Word continually. I've stood firm on God's Word. And you see what my walk is like. As you said, the manner of life. He says, I don't walk in a way that is pleasing to all men. I walk as directed by my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word says that by their fruit you'll know them. And Paul points out that you know what my purpose is for even speaking to you and speaking to others. What is the purpose that we have that would even speak to others? Isn't it because we have such a love for the undying soul of man? Isn't it also that even as the will of God was that none would be lost? Do we have the same will? Is this what we desire also, that those that we are even speaking to, that they would not be lost, but they would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the Lord could wondrously work within their hearts, that living faith might come into a heart that's empty and cold, the dead in trespasses and sins? Is that why we would talk to others? That's what Paul is speaking about here. The purpose. And what brings forth is the words that we speak is because of the faith that he has given us. The faith that he has given to us that in Jesus Christ that we have everlasting life. So he has given to us this precious living faith that we're able to believe that our sins are forgiven, that our names are written in heaven, that Jesus loves me. This that we have freely received, we want others also, that they could also receive the same. Is this why we would even want to speak to others? We know how hard it is sometimes. Sometimes it seems like we're talking to a brick wall. Our words, sometimes they seem like they never penetrate. But as Paul said, long-suffering. How long-suffering has our Lord been with us? How patient and long-suffering has he been towards us? How patient and long-suffering should be towards others. And with charity. What is charity? It's love. We continue because we love that person. We love the soul of that person. And our Lord loves each one of us. He loves our soul so much. And that's why he came into the world, to save us who are lost. And with patience. It seems like patience isn't something that I have much of. But I'm even exhorted here that, and I have to pray that, Lord, give me patience. Help me. How often we have to pray to the Lord that he'd work within us, so that we can do things in his way and by his way to accomplish that goal, that a soul would be saved, that a person would be saved, that they would not be separated from God forever. And then he reminds Timothy of what he has faced. Maybe you and I have not faced it yet. But here, Paul writes about that he faced persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra. And I endured all those persecutions. But notice he said, out of all these persecutions, it was the Lord himself who delivered me. And the same Lord today that even though we're persecuted, even though we're put down, even though we're ridiculed, all these things, the Lord will deliver you and he'll deliver me. This is our Lord and our Savior. He is the one who abides with us every step of the way and all the way to the end. He's one that gives us strength that we can continue and we can endure all things. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice he doesn't say that some will. But he said, if you're going to continue as a Christian, if you're going to walk as a Christian, led by the Lord, led by the Spirit, led by His Word, you will be persecuted. He said, but evil men and seducers, it says, shall wax worse and worse. Things are not going to get better in this world. It seems like we're going through a period now where things are getting better. But the Word of God says that because of the evil that's in the hearts of men, and because of the seduction, where the evil will take and prey upon others and cause them to follow the way of the evil one. And it says that the evil will wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. What a dangerous thing that is this deceit. But that's what's out there. And that's what the enemy of the soul desires to do. Even as with our first parents, with Adam and with Eve, Satan, he deceived Eve and Adam that they would turn from God. And Satan is trying to do the same thing to us, to deceive us. Jesus promises he'll never leave us, never forsake us. But Satan knows that we can walk away from Jesus. Always turn your hearts to Jesus. Do you ever feel temptation coming upon you very, very strongly? I do. So often. What do you do when that happens? Do you cry out to the Lord, that Lord help me? Do you cry to the Lord and say that help me, strengthen me that I can overcome? Dear Lord, give me strength that I can resist that temptation that is so strong. We have the promise that God hears our prayers. God hears us. He'll never forsake us because we are His children. But he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. That's what he's encouraging us, and he's encouraging Timothy. Continue in these godly things that you have learned from God's word, that you have learned even from your youth. Continue in them. And these things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, you have been assured of that God loves you. You've been assured that Jesus had taken your sin upon himself and paid for it in full on the center cross of Calvary. You have been assured of that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That God knows you by name because you belong to him, because Jesus Christ has purchased you with his own blood. Continue believing this. Be assured, like even today, we can partake of the Lord's precious blood. The blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We can partake of his body, the body that was broken as payment for our sins. That we can be assured of knowing even who are the ones that have spoken to you of these things. Even Christian, believing Christian parents, grandparents, precious brothers and sisters in Christ, even those who love your souls, your preachers, your pastors, remember these things that you have heard, that you've been assured of. Remember those that have even gone before you, and what is the words that they have spoken? And have they been faithful to the end? Have they been faithful to the end, believing and trusting solely upon the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ? That when they pass from life to eternity, do you feel the assurance in your heart that they're safe in the arms of Jesus because their sins were forgiven? That you were faithful to the end, that there awaits a crown of life for them. Remember on these things, it isn't by what the world tells us, but it's the testimony of God's word, the testimony of God's children that have walked according to God's word. He says, I have fought a good fight in the next chapter. I have kept the faith. He says, and from a child I had known the Holy Scriptures. This is the truth of it all. It's the Holy Scriptures. First and foremost, we have God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. That's what our parents, grandparents, Sunday school, church, preachers, that we've been exhorted by them to read the Word, study the Word, follow God's Word, that this is first and foremost above everything else. The Bible is above everything else, regardless of what we read, regardless of what we hear. God's Word has to be first and foremost. Because here it says that the Holy Scriptures, they're able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. It's a word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And they're able to give you this precious faith that you're able to believe that you're a child of God. You belong to Him. You're going to heaven. That Jesus loves you. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. This word that's contained in the Bible, all of it, God had inspired the writers to write it. God had inspired, God had revealed to them that it wasn't from their own mind. It was God who gave it to them. And it's for this reason, it is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, that the Word of God, it should be taught, and it will do that work for which God has given it to, and for reproof. When a person walks contrary, or is being led contrary to the Word of God, it's the Word of God that can reprove them to show that this is God's way. It's not the way that you're going. And for correction. They will correct us to put our feet back on that narrow pathway that leads to eternal life. And for instruction in righteousness. To show us that how should a child of God walk? What is the walk that God would desire from us? And for this purpose, that a man or a woman, a child of God, that you might be perfect. The Word of God is working to make us perfect. And how are we perfect? We're perfect if we have no sin that separates us from God. And God's Word shows us that when the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes all our sins away, when we become this new creature in Christ, and old things have passed away and all things become new, when we stand before the righteous, living, all-knowing God, how do we stand? We stand covered with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand perfect. Sin does not separate us from God. And this is what the work of that Holy Scriptures, it does for us. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God leads us in. We would not just be hearers of the Word, but we would be doers of the Word. The Word says that by their fruits you'll know them. The Spirit of God remains with every one of His children. The Spirit leads and guides us on a pathway of truth and righteousness for His name's sake. Till that one day, when His faith turns to sight, and we'll see Jesus and be with Him, we'll know Him just as He is. To that end, I pray that God blesses each and every one of us and helps us. Help us, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us. We ask in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.